goal general, so far, the four paradigms we've developed to explain the Ptura Rishus HaRabim in the Chiyuvin Rishus HaYachid. Let's talk about where we saw them in various halachos that we've seen so far. That'll be the first introduction today. Second introduction today, we'll be reviewing yesterday's Shia. So we can know where we left off and where we can continue. Okay, so you understand what we're trying to do? First of all, the big board, the monster table. Where are we? What have we done? What have we accomplished? Which Gemaras? Second issue is Sugya Dav Chaf. Let's get back into the Sugya. Okay, so we started with the understanding of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid is Gzeiras HaKasuv. Probably the best phrase to highlight that is the phrase on Daf Hey Amid Beis, when Rava said, you know, the Torah didn't really have to write all four or five Avos Nezikin. It could have gotten by with Bora Plus. Lamai Hilchasa Kasvina Rachmana. Who knows the answer? What's that word? Lamai Kasva Rachmana Lehilchasam. And each mazik has a ptur. Hashem didn't want to be total liability. That would be cutthroat. That would be stifling. And the ptur for Shane and Ragel is Rishus HaRabim. You don't have to pay. So it's a formal Gzeiras HaKasuv, like Ptur Kelim, structurally parallel. Like Chatzi Nezek, structurally parallel. Like Talmud, structurally parallel. Torah gives us dispensations. The big break came with the Rif. The Rif introduced the word Orche. That came from nowhere. Comes with the Gemara, so talk about it, but the Rif introduced the word Orche, which makes it sound like the reason you're Pater in Rishus HaRabim and you're Chayiv in Rishus HaYachid is because the level of Pshia skyrockets in Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid, how do you let your animal walk into my Rishus and take my pears? You should have watched the animal. Rishus HaRabim, it's impossible to watch the animals. Animals walk, animals eat. Which Gemara, again, to do a nice little mini Chazara today, which Gemara of all the Gemaras you saw smells like the Rif? Which Gemara sounds like the Rif? The Ptur Shein and Regel and Rishus HaRabim is, it's just so hard where you're going to make that guy act, you know, watch all day long. It's like so hard. Come on. What? Kishkush. What's the language of the Gemara in Daf Yutesim and Beis? V'chi. Yochazena biznava v'yelech. Come on, Lamdan. The next time your parents ask you to, like, wash the dishes and it's so hard. Another time. V'chi yochazena biznava v'yelech, Mom and Dad. You're making me do crazy things. If your father's a Lamdan, so you know what, you're off. Just, I get so much nachas that you go to the Gemara, you don't have to do the dishes tonight. Okay? Speak like a Lamdan. Got to get it into your kishkes. It's Orche. And we saw a hyper-application of Orche. Now, the second the animal doesn't really eat as part of its gait, G-A-I-T, then you're chayef. Who said that? Who took the Ramban once? Okay. Who took the Rif one step further? The Ramban. That's why Rav says Mechazaras is Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. That's why Ilfa says Me Agav Chavrata is Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. Because Rishus HaRabim isn't a Ptur zone. Rishus HaRabim is a place that it's normal. If the animal eats abnormally in Rishus HaRabim, not only abnormally Karen style, but a little bit non-Orche, you're Chayiv. So that was the second model we had. The third model we had, and we talked about this earlier this week, not necessarily going in order, well, which should I say first? Yeah, okay, I'll say this one first. Is when my animal eats your pears in Rishus HaRabim, you want me to be chayef? You're looking at me as the criminal? Who's the criminal here? Not the mazik, but the nizik. What do we call that? Pshias and nizik. Which Gemara made that sound very, very compelling? Rav's Shita on Mekatzah Makom, according to the two positions in Tassos. Especially the Tosfos on Daf Chafim and Aleph, Chavalfim and Aleph. Where I'm not even mafkin my Rishus. It's Rishus HaYachid. Your animal is coming to my Rishus HaYachid and eating my peros. That sounds like classic Shane. My Rishus. I'm not mafkin the Rishus. But since I invited people to walk through, what does the guy say? Lav kol keminach, says the Mazik, Dimakarav tesladeh perosecha l'shusay. It's your fault by putting your peros into my animal's mouth. See this next week. What are you talking about? Your animal ate my pears. Yeah, but you put it in the mouth. So when you put your pears in Rishus HaRabim, you really put it in the mouth because it's Rishus HaRabim. The Chiddush of Rav is even a quasi Rishus HaRabim, which is Rishus HaYachid legally, but people are walking through all the time and it's on the boundary, it's your fault just like it would be in Rishus HaRabim. So the Ptur Rishus HaRabim is not a Gzeiras HaKasuv. It's not a lack of a Chiyuv, like the Rif says, because it's an Orche. It's Ptur. Hear the language now, the Lamdasha language. this starts to send us into hyperlumbus land. It's not that you're not chayiv, it's that you're pater. It's not like I don't have enough of a ma'isa nezek, but the pshi of the nezek. Now that's a new concept. We're going to talk about this in Mirtash Hashem when we finish Shein, the sugya of kol ha'mishane u'bachar v'shina. Is there a principle or a theory that says there's only one poshea? And that poshea is the most poshea. And if you're a poshea, I can't be poshea. And if you, the nizik, did something worse than me, I should have watched my animal, let's face it, right? It's just a rabbit. It's not like it's, I should have watched the animal. Yeah, but you did worse than me. I'm bad, but you're worse. Ah, okay. I'm bad, but you're worse. Maybe I'm not so bad, because there can only be one bad person in the narrative of Bava Kamma. That was the third principle we saw. Yesterday, we finally hit ground zero for a fourth principle. Okay, today, we're going to see if we can find that fifth principle, and then we'll have the picture, we'll learn one or two sukkahs. But again, I don't want to come in here and say, oh, there are five ideas, the Torah shows up, one, two, three. I want you to see where they come from the Gemara, how they evolve from the Gemara, how the Rif got his from V'chiya Chazena, how we got Pshiyas and Nizek from Rav, how we got the idea yesterday that, you know what, you're Pater and Rishas Rabim, going back to our previous, because you're not Pater and Rishas Rabim, you're just not Chayiv. The Chayiv is not doing damage in Rishas Yachin. You say, well, why is Rishas Yachin different? The Chayiv of Rishas Yachin is invading the guy's Rishas. If you invade and you smile for a selfie, you're not going to pay him. But if you invade and there's some loss, you pay for that invasion. Why you Pater and Rishas Rabim? Crazy. You punish the son because there's no invasion. You can't even ask the question. Don't ask why you put the Nishas Rabbim. Why you put the Nishas Rabbim? Because you're not Chayiv. Because the DNA of being Mechayiv, the trigger of Chayiv, the invasion is totally irrelevant in Nishas Rabbim. Nishas Yachad, you're Chayiv of the invasion. And we postulated a lot about that. And we'll go back to what we'll find in another Sugyas, because now that we have our lenses on, we can be more careful readers of every Sugyas we're going to read in the future. But we hit it yesterday. What was yesterday's pshat? Yesterday's pshat is how Rashi explained Miskago. Now we're segueing into part two of the Chazar. We're going to talk about yesterday's shir and how it added that fourth dimension, that fourth paradigm, and then today we'll get to Tosos and possibly add a fifth paradigm. Okay, so just to see how we're slowly building this system of integrated logic of the Torah Shas Rabbim. So Rashi said the question was, an animal that takes food from Rishas HaYachid, drags it into Rishas HaRabbim, and eats it in Rishas HaRabbim. Or vice versa, but that was the primary case. Now, how did Rashi set it up? You've got two different nodes. You've got the Lakicha and the Achila. The Lakicha was in Rishas HaYachid, the Achila was in Rishas HaRabbim. And basically, after we whittled it down and ping-ponged it, we got to the conclusion that, look, the Achila, the Nezek, took place in Rishas HaRabbim. Who cares the animal grabbed it from Rishas HaYachid? Why should that be Mechayiv you if the Achila took place in Rishas HaRabbim? So one answer was, well, the lakicha is really the start of the achila. So the biting, eating, swallowing, salivaring, that took place in Rishas HaRabbim. But the preparation for the achila, that's Rishas HaYachid. So really though, the eating, chop, took place in Rishas HaRabbim, the lakicha starts the hefsed, the lakicha starts the achila, somehow we'll integrate the lakicha with the achila. But lakicha can never be a standalone mechayev. Were you crazy? The achila is the mechayev. Achila took place in Rishas HaRabbim. So we have to do something. I said, let's change our convention of Bava Kamma, let's ignore the Maisa Nezek and focus on the Maisa Lakicha, the Hefsid, Yadir said maybe said, but somehow I've got to integrate Lakicha with Achila. The second shot we said, which was the big Chiddush yesterday, was, wait a second. Maybe the Gemara's question is, remember, it's an open question, we don't know what the answer is, but maybe the Tzad that says Lakicha, Basa Lakicha Zlinan, is saying, maybe this is our home run. This is our home run pitch, that you're chayav for lakicha, not for achila. What is lakicha? Why are you chayav for lakicha? Well, for grabbing something, you're a gazlan? Now the answer is, as lakicha is the way that you create a trespass and an invasion of the person's rishus. Again, if the animal comes in rishus, there's nothing harmful. But if there's something harmful, then even if the item is not yet damaged, again, if it never gets damaged, just give the item back. But essentially, the lakicha, taking an item from someone's rishus, that is a home invasion. And for that, you're chayiv. And we tried to prove it by Reb Tarfon Shita. And we tried to prove it by the way you assess damages. And then yesterday we asked, well, which model of Basa Lakicha are we adopting? Lakicha is the beginning of the Achila, or Lakicha is a standalone Achila for home invasion, provided that there's some compensation to be spoken of. And we talked about what happens if Lakichas are not integrated with Achilos, what happens if the animal grabs it and then walks to the Fifth Avenue and then eats there, where the Lakicha is completely distended or detached. We talked about, is it reversible? So this is where we are right now, okay? We learned about four sugyos. We have four paradigms. We talked about Rashi. It was an easier pshat logically, but less easy textually. Rashi changes the text. Pashas is miskalgal as the food is rolling. When you get to Tosos, it reads the text literally. We got some real heavy lifting to do today, but we don't really have too many shanim to help us. So we're going to have to find some way to make sense of Tosos today. And maybe the best way to make sense of Tosos is to introduce a new paradigm. Okay? Got it? Let's get started. Okay? What's miskalgal according to Tosfos? Not animal dragging food from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, but, okay, Rabbi Moshe Picasso will be drawing today's beautiful sketches. Okay. Good work out here. It's hard to erase this. Here we go. Easy. Okay. So we have food. Here is the food. Rishus HaNizik, Rishus HaRabim, and the food is rolling into Rishus HaRabim. That's rolling into Rishus HaRabim. And the animal steps in and grabs the food here and eats the food before it continues its trajectory, before it continues its path. So it stops the food in mid-path. Okay? Miskalgal. What would you say? What's the simple pshat? Chayev or pater? Chayev. Everyone has to get this right. There's no two ways about this. Why in the heck do I care that it's rolling? Who cares that the item is rolling? Or does that make a difference? Who cares? That's our challenge today. What's the havamina that rolling food, when eaten in Rishus HaYachid and taken in Rishus HaYachid, should be pater? So I know what Tosa says. Well, the fact that it's rolling, we can imagine. Well, what does that mean? Why? We had a case where I imagine it as if it's already something. Where do we have this before? What was the context, and what was the specifics? Zarek, excellent. Zarek, Kli, Mirosh, Agag, Uba, Achor, V'Shavro. We saw that the Kli is already considered a Kli Shavro like Tosos. But in that case, you actually performed a Maisa Nezek on the Kli that was about to hit a wall or a ground. So the Kli can be considered Shavor. Here, it's rolling. I haven't performed the Maisa Nezek. I can't say the food is already Shavor. That's off. You can't say, oh, since when I throw an item against the wall, as it leaves my hand, it's about to hit the wall, I can consider the Kli Shavor. Here, can I consider, I haven't done a Maisa Nezek to the object. Said otherwise, guys, there is no, listen carefully, this is a major, major shift in the shir. There is no general principle in Bava Kama that future events are considered as having happened already in the present. That's ridiculous. Future events are future. There is a halacha that items that in a minute will be destroyed are considered worthless now. That's called the Kli Shavur doctrine. So there's a Kli Shavur doctrine that we know from Chavav and from Yud Zayin. Fine. But this isn't a Kli Shavur. It's rolling food. There is no doctrine in Bava Kama that says you follow the future, and that would be ludicrous. Why would you follow the future? Why in the world would you say that since its location in 5 minutes or 2 seconds will be Rishus HaRabim? Why would you even say that? There has to be some Bava Kama tie-in. There has to be some view. 1 second, I did. Just listen to the structure, because once I say this, we're on our own, because the Rishonim don't elaborate on Tosfos. There has to be something in the Petur Rishus HaRabim that says, okay, my yardstick for applying Petur Rishus HaRabim or not, is impacted by the fact this food will be sooner in Rishus HaRabim. You follow? I'm shifting the conversation from a general principle to a specific Rishus HaRabim principle. I've seen people who want to say, well, we consider the future as having occurred already. That's not true. It's not true in Bava Kama. The only case we have is Kli Shavur, because the Kli is about to be broken. So Kalim that about to be broken are worthless. We talked about the lack of value. Kli Shavur. But we don't have that principle to help us here. We have to imagine, this is the methodology. We have to say, what type of Tor Rishus HaRabim would apply, even if the Kli is not yet in Rishus HaRabim, but is headed for Rishus HaRabim? Which one of my paradigms, okay, let's make paradigms here on this part of the board, which one of my Petur Rishus HaRabim paradigms helps me understand. Is it the Gzeres HaKasov? Is it the Orchei? Is it the Pshias HaNizek? Is it the invasion, which doesn't exist in Rishas HaRabim? Or is there number five? There will be. That's our question today. Can we shoehorn this chilek into one of these four? Or are we at the Big Bang moment where we have to say something new? That's what I want you. Anyone wants to leave, then I can leave. That's the shiur today. Everything else is trying to find the logic. But the methodology and the structure is today. The Shulchan Gemara says, this is actually a question that one of the Rishonim asked. How could the Gemara even ask the question? We know that from Zara Klimi, Rosh Hagag, Eitam, we take the future and make it in the present. No. That's not true. There is no principle that says you take the future into the present. There's a principle that says, in a very specific case, when a kli is about to be broken, it loses its value. And we talked about when it's stuck in that middle stage where it's inevitably going to lose, so it loses value already. But that's limited to chavav. We throw a kli from a roof, or you kick a kli and it's about to break, or maybe we throw stones. Here, no one threw the food. It's not going to hit any wall. It's just rolling, and it's going to land nice and peacefully and tranquilly in Rosh Hashanah. There's no kli shavur principle here. So what does Tosfos mean when he says, let's read Tosfos. I can read Tosfos also, but Tosfos doesn't give us enough. What does Tosfos mean when he says, in Daf Chaf, V'kamibayle ki line ichashiv kimunachim b'rishu sarabim alo. What principle above a comma of Torah Shasarabim would say, you know what, it's considered munach b'rishu sarabim, even though right now Natan physically, you and I both know it's in Shasayachim. What difference should the future rolling and landing make whether I apply b'rishu sarabim or Shasayachim? Who had questions? Who had their hands up first? Adir and then Yossi. You have an answer.
That's
breaking. No one's breaking anything here. That means the Maisa Nezik that occurs in the end, all the energy that's necessary for the Maisa Nezik has already been expended in the beginning. So the Maisa Nezik, there's no Maisa Nezik. There's rolling fruit. There's no Maisa Nezik. Either I consider it in the Chetz that the Kli is broken, or I say, you know how I define a Maisa Nezik? If all the energy happens in the beginning and everything else is inevitable, the Maisa Nezik has already terminated. There's no Maisa Nezik here. The wind blows the food. It blows the food from the Strachler mansion, which everyone knows is chaotic and dangerous, to, the street in West Orange is very peaceful. It's going to have a better landing. The food's going to have a... I'll ask the questions. I'm just trying to... It's a nice Nezik here. It's a nice pasture land in the middle of West Orange. No, there's no wall. There's no cleave. There's no breakage. Yes, you saw it. We'll talk about something like that. Something like that. So you're shifting it away from location. Dovi. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay, so you're already starting the process. You're already starting to fit it into something here. What do you say, Yosef?
Could the case be that the animal was standing in Rishat
and his head was in that doesn't seem. You're shrinking, you're playing Tosfos' game. You're playing Tosfos to Tosfos. He's saying, I have such a hard time understanding Tosfos, let's say Tosfos is talking about it in Rikimta.
He doesn't specify exactly.
Once you start playing those games, maybe we're talking about an animal with no teeth. There's no way. It sounds like it's a general principle, right? I'm not trivializing. I'm just saying, try to tackle the issue rather than fling from the issue. Okay. So let's start. Can anyone, before I get to this whole, I see you're very excited about Pshias and Nizek business. Can anyone assume maybe Tosfos holds like the theory we developed in Rashi? Can I say that the chiyuv of Shein in Rosh Hashanah is invasion? But the tzad here is to say maybe this isn't an invasion. Why would rolling food not be an invasion-based chiyuv? I'm in Rosh Hashanah, Yosef Grauer. The animal comes into Rosh Hashanah, eats in Rosh Hashanah, takes from Rosh Hashanah. But I don't call this an invasion. What would you say, Yossi?
Maybe you could say invasion is something that
There's no way you could have had access to it unless you went to
Correct.
Rosh Hashanah.
Correct.
Here you would have had access.
We'll say it a little different, but it's the same logic. It's just a different formulation. Maybe Tosfos agrees with Chiyuv's invasion. Adam, he doesn't go to Rashi's extreme, that therefore Lakicha alone is enough. That was Rashi's business. Invasion is walking in, eating in the Rosh Hashanah. Right? Yesterday, again, I want you to make sure that you're able, Henry, to separate between what I'm saying now and what I said yesterday. This is really important, Lamnisha logic, to create similarities but differences. Yesterday, we said that since Rashi holds invasion, that could lead you into a very extreme position that Lakicha alone is enough, even though the Achila happened outside. That was Rashi's extreme radicalization of the invasion theory. Oh, the Chiyuv is invasion. It's enough just to take it from Rosh Hashanah, even though you eat it in a public thoroughfare, because you did your invasion. Today we're saying, Tosfos, saying, no. I'm not into all this business in Rashi. Tosfos is saying, you need everything in Rosh Hashanah. You need Lakicha, you need Achila, at least Achila. Don't give me this business, Rashi, that taking it from a... That's why Tosfos rejected Rashi's scenario. There's no way in the world to make Lakicha standalone Mechayev. You need achila at best, maybe even lakicha also, but whatever. Invasion is only accomplished if you eat in Rosh Hashanah. But, Tosa says, I have a different ruler. Look at my hand, different yardstick to see whether it's invasion. Not what was done in Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi says, since it's invasion, all I need is lakicha. No, you need achila for invasion. But how connected is the kli to the property? Real invasion is stepping on my boundary. Oh, I invaded your home. That's real home. You know, it's real home invasion. Taking a shotgun, and that's home invasion. You know another home invasion? Bava Kama Daf Nun Ches. Eating the food from the land. I've attacked your land. I haven't attacked your food. I've attacked your land. But here, the animal came in. Okay, I'm an animal. Animal came in and just started eating the food from the table. Is that really a home invasion? It's a Maisonezuk on the object, on the food. And the Chiyuv Hashein is home invasion. Well. Items in the home, if you take the items of the home, wink, wink, items of the home, even though you didn't eat the actual fruit growing from the land, and you didn't necessarily trample on the boundary and ruin the house, taking something from the home is a home invasion. But I need to know whether it's from the home. Of the home. If I have an item that's on its way out of the home anyway, see if I ask myself, did I damage an item in Rosh Hashanah? Of course I did, because I'm in Rosh Hashanah and I damaged it. Right here, then a couple minutes is outside. Right now, freeze frame, I damage an item in Rosh Hashanah. I went out of my way. It's not Orche. Why in the heck would you be pater me? Why in the heck do you hold Zeres HaKasav? There is no way to pater me because it's Sofel and Rosh Hashanah. If I hold the Orche, there is no way to pater me because it's going to end up in Rosh Hashanah. If I hold Pshias HaNizek, there is no way to pater me unless I change the definition of Pshias HaNizek, which we'll see. But if I hold the Mechayev Hashein is home invasion, so now I have to start talking about, is it really true that by walking into someone's Rosh Hashanah and eating something that's not connected to the land, it's considered as if I've attacked the house and invaded the house? You could say, yes, it is. Because anytime you go into someone's rishus and take something you had no access to outside of rishus, that's considered a home invasion. Or you could say, I have to gauge how connected the item is to the object. And if it's about to be in rishus harabim, and as Yossi said, I could have access anyway, so my taking the kli isn't part of my home invasion. They're two totally separate things. I invaded the home and, you know, whatever. And in addition, I took an item that I could have gotten anyway. So I have to shift the p'tor to have this begin to make sense. If it's Orche, the animal walked into my house. What difference does it make? The food is rolling. If it's Xeris HaKasav, the animal walked into my house, did Lakicha and Achila in the house. What difference does it make? But if the Chiyuv is a home invasion, remember, I'm separating Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, I'm interviewing Tosfos now. Everyone look, I've got the microphone. Tosfos, do you agree that Lakicha alone is enough? He starts laughing. I can't laugh because my voice hurts me. Are you kidding? Lakicha, you need Achila. But I'm a home invasion man. I agree with the concept. But I don't radicalize like Rashi. If anything, I'm more machmir, In me, you have to make sure that the item is of the home, because otherwise you haven't attacked the home. It's a big chiddush for me, Tosa says, to consider taking fruit from a table a home invasion. Taking fruit from the ground, that's a home invasion. Bringing down the fence, that's a home invasion. Taking fruit from the table, that's not a home invasion. Okay, I'll accept it, as long as the fruit's sitting there. Once you've got fruit, it's rolling its way out, I could have gotten there anyway. The home invasion is irrelevant. It's not part of the home. The chefza no longer part of the home. Therefore, the Gemara has a havamina. Maybe I'd be pater. Namely, said otherwise, according to Tosfos, the Gemara's question, whether you are pater or chayev, where the obvious answer is you're chayev, what's the svar to say pater? The Gemara is gauging what's the nature of the Petur Shus HaRabim. If the nature of the Petur Shus HaRabim is Xerza Katsiv or Chayv Shias and Nizik, of course you're Chayiv. But if the Chayiv is invasion, then maybe you'd be Potter here. Because, or version two, the Gemara is convinced that the Petur is, because there's no home invasion, the Chayiv is invasion. But do we consider, Yassi, a Kli that's rolling, an invasion of the house? Yassi and I gave Svar to say no. Maybe the other side of the Gemara says, maybe it is. Maybe the fact that I could have accessed it otherwise doesn't make a difference because I went into the house. So is the Gemara asking a top-level question, what your paradigm is, what your model is, or the Gemara is assuming it's invasion, just saying, how do we gauge invasion with an item that's about to leave Rishus and you don't have to invade to get to it, it's no longer part of the estate. That seems to be so far, unless we break out, we're going to break out in a moment, unless we break out, that seems to be the best model we have to try to understand the tzad to make you putter, where the future would make a difference. I know what Tosa says, but why would it make a difference? Don't just look for concepts, try to say, why would it be applicable? What's the logic in applying that concept? Okay? Avi, you had a question?
I don't know exactly remember the law about this, but according to Tosco, if someone else would put through the side of your field, and your animal ate those fruit, should you be putter?
Someone put my fruit.
Basically, there's Reuven that owns a field. Shimon put fruit in Reuven's field.
Shimon put his fruit.
Yes.
Okay, that's if we have time. I'm not sure how long we'll go at this. If we have time, we'll talk about that. What you're talking about are the two sub-sugyas that no one really gets to because it's not in the second parak. One is we're going to go back to the first parak, Chatzar HaShutfin. What happens if Mazik and Nizik have a legal partnership? Then the related sugyas, which some of you learned Dafyomi, Mem Zayin, Mem Vav, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, where I gave you a shus to bring your food in, someone else had a shus. How does that affect Shane? We have to cherry pick because these are really, really big sugars. We have to find the little pockets that talk about Shane. But those are the, how do we define what shus is? Right now, we're fixing those variables. It's important you listen to my answer. Right now, we're not diversifying who owns what's for shus. They're clearly demarcated by us. We talked about margins of a shus around them. We're trying to talk about where the object is, where the nezek happened. You're flipping the variables. Let's not talk about this sukkah. Let's go to a different sukkah. So your mind is wandering beyond the parameters of the sukkah. Follow? You're asking a question that's related to all this logic, but it's a different conversation. It's important that you're able to segment in your mind. Okay, right now, Reuven knows his rishos, this is rishos haravim, and the variable we're looking at is objects in, out, mazik, no mazik. Another stage is, let's fix this regular rishos hayachid, but who owns it, and what is those rishos? Okay? So it's not directly germane, although it stems from the same logic, because you're such a lamdan, that everything's related to everything. Okay? Got it? Okay. Can there be a second model, Avi? Can there be another model that helps us? So what were some of you saying? You saw David, you said it before. Start. Then maybe, if the Petur Shus HaRabim is Shus HaNizik, namely, the Nizik exposed his items to damage, okay, so it's a great svara within Ukimta. What's the Ukimta?
Yeah, that
he knew Ukimta. Tosfos
himself seems to kind of assume that that's what the next step in Gemara, at least it's having the influence, that it's
Masoi Chelik within the Chelik Bachutz.
Right, that it's somewhere that it's going to be in. Right.
So it's not a crazy Ukimta because of the Gemara's association with Masoi Chelik Bachutz. We left it in a place that could easily move. But it's still an Ukimta. The Gemara doesn't say Gilgil Omer Lishus HaRabim, it's Nisgalgil. Namely, said otherwise, I put my food on my dining room table, closed by three doors, and all of a sudden, I don't know if the door opened, a Rosh Hashanah Mitzvah came, food started rolling out. I'm a Poshea. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're right that this is the next best step to consider. If you told me, okay, of these four, which one would you choose, Rabbi Tarragon, assuming that invasion is off the board of these three? So if I had a choice of three and I had to shoehorn this sugya into one of those three, I'd agree with you. But you're paying a heavy price in Ukimta. The question is, can we say something similar without the Ukimta that would help us explain why rolling food about the land in Rishas Sarabin is Patr? You have an answer or a question? Question or answer?
I have a question.
Start with question then. Okay, well, Elisha, go ahead. Since I'm not sure. You're not sure, Elisha, go ahead. What do you think?
Could we take it back to Pshiasa root? Meaning, since we said Pshiasa is it means it's like you're putting it in the mouth of the animal, then as soon as it's en route to the Rishas Harabim, it's like it's going to be eaten. It's already kilo.
Okay, you're getting there. As we say in Hebrew, mitchamein, mitchamein, mitchamein. Give me, you're like 70% of the way there when you play hot and cold, mitchamein, mitchamein. You're 70% of the way there. Listen to what Elisha's saying and see if you could change his language. That the Ptor, I'll give you the logic and then you give me the language. The Ptor Rishas Harabim is defined as somehow, Elisha, this is what you're really saying, not really Pshias HaNizik. It's not a din in the Gavra. Oh, Avi, you left your food in Cedar Lane, you're Pshia, your Pshia undoes my Pshia. No, it's a din in the Chefza. Okay, now take that. What is Elisha really saying? When I leave something in Rishas Harabim, not that I'm a poshea, but okay, take the word pshia out of your head. Move to some other word. Don't prison yourself with pshia. The object is avi hefker or something like that. Extra lumdas points. Anyone that tells me, I don't know if you saw it. I was away. I can't trust my assistant. Did you see this, Gemara? Which Amara used the word? The word. Very interesting Amara. One of these contrarian Amaras. He's always taking the contrary view. All you contrarians, you like him. He was a student in the Talmud of Rava. What's his name?
Rami Chama.
Rami had this like contrarian perspective. Did you see the Gemara?
Yes.
Okay, let's read the Gemara together. Okay? For those who didn't see it, those who don't remember it, those who played hooky when I was away, whatever. Here's the Gemara, okay? It's the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Okay? Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara is in a conversation. For Hana. Not for Nezik. We're talking about Rishas Harabim, where you're Pater and Chain. You want to know why you're Chayev for Hana. And the Gemara broadens the conversation to general, where Reuven lives in Shimon's house, and Reuven has another place to live. Reuven doesn't have another place to live. Shimon doesn't really care about the house. So Zenehenev Zelochaser. So the Gemara says, let's read the whole question together just to get a little traction. Bechatzer, two lines from the bottom, Chafam and Aleph. Bechatzer de lokaim el agra, the gavra David lemaker. Reuven needs a place to live, so it's Zenehene. Shimon can care less, it's Zelo chaser. Mai. Matsi amarlai, can Reuven, the squatter, say, Mai chaser tikha, you don't lose any money. Odilma, Matsi amarlai, Shimon can tell Reuven, the owner of the house, can tell the squatter, Pais hanis, you gotta know. The classic case, Zenehen of Zelochasa. Amar Le, so this is actually a question that they asked Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama answered Rav Chisda, Amar Le, top line of Chafam and Beis, Masnisenhi. I can prove to you that you're Chayev by Zenehen of Zelochasa from the Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Hai Masnisan. Rav Chisda asked Rami. Amar Le, Rami said, first, bring me my kippah, bring me my yarmulke. Okay, doesn't mean it's yarmulke. Bring me my handkerchief, serve me. And then afterwards, I'll answer the question. Remember, in those days, as in our days, nice chance, how much time do we have today? Oh, not so much time. Okay, some other time. Showing Kavanah Torah to Rabbanim was not an egotistical event. Most of the Rabbanim you've had in your life are more humble and meek and don't serve me and don't take care of me. There's a different way to treat Rabbanim, and there's a different Masara. We'll talk about the pros and cons of each Masara, whether you see your Rabbanim as on high and you say, Rabbi, in third person, or they just dress normally, they're like you, and you treat them like your best friends. So, positives and negatives about each. So, b'mishamish misyof kavadatar. Chidishamish li shakal sivri. Karach lei. Amar lei, so Rami said, now that you serve me, im nehenis mishlamis mashinenis. Rami said, look at the Mishnah. Food's in Rishas Sarabim. Rami said, you're not chayiv for Shein, it's Rishas Sarabim, but you are chayiv for Hana. This is a case of Zenehenev Zelochaser. The animal ate, but what does Shimon care, the owner of the food, what does Shimon care that the food was eaten? So just like animal eating food in Rishas Sarabim is Zenehenev Zelochaser, similarly, Reuven living in Shimon's house is Zenehenev Zelochaser. Amar Rava, so Rava was listening. Kama lo chali v'lo margish gavar demar isaya. What's Rami talking about? Tiavokav do dami masnisa and kibla minei. Rav Chizah just took this sheepishly. Rami's association doesn't make any sense. Hi, zenehen of zechaser. The case where an animal eats food in Rishas Harabim is zenehen of zechaser. The hi, zenehen of zechaser. And I'm asking about Reuven living in Shimon's open house, who's zenehen of zechaser. Namely, Rava had a convincing point. What are you doing? I want to know about Zenehen of Zelo Chaser. Eating someone's food in Rishas HaRabim? Where there's no shame and you're asking whether you're chayiv for Hana? That's Zenehen of Zelo Chaser. It's your food. Why is it Lo Chaser? So Rabbi just wiped away Rami's association. So Gemara says, V'Rami Bar Chama, line number 6. What was he thinking? How could Rami say, oh, we want to know about Zenehen of Zelo Chaser? One case is Shimon's house, Reuven living there, empty house, as in the chaser. Case 2 is Rishus HaRabim, animal eating food. This is Zenehen of Zelachaser? This is Zenehen of Zelachaser. Okay, there's no shame, obviously, but when he says, oh, the fact that you pay for Hana proves that Zenehen of Zelachaser is Chayim. Maybe this is Zenehen of Zelachaser. He says, Rami Bar Chama, like us up, what's Rami talking about? So Rami says, look at this line. If you haven't followed every word I've said right now, it's fine, but look at this line. Line number 6. The Rami Bar Chama, Stam Peros, Birshus HaRabim, Afguri Mafkir. Everyone go like this. Did he just say what I thought he said? I'll say it in context, and then we'll just bring it back to our sugya. Rami felt that any Peros in Rishus HaRabim are inherently Hefker. So if they're inherently hefker, Shimon doesn't own them. If Shimon doesn't own them, he's lo chaser. Therefore, I can call this a case of zenehen of zelo chaser. And if you still chayv in the Mishnah, I can then extrapolate the zenehen of zelo chaser in general is chayv. That was Rami's logic. Rami said, again, the Mishnah says that if Reuven eats Shimon's peros, Reuven's animal eats Shimon's peros, Rishas HaRabim, he's patur in shame b'chayv on hana. How can you be chayv on hana? Fruit of Rishas HaRabim is hefker. If fruit of Rishas HaRabim is hefker, not only should you be patur on shame, you should be patur on hana. Why you chayiv on hana? It's zenehen of zelo chaser. Evidently, you can be mechayiv someone for hana by zenehen of zelo chaser. Rami, is saying that the reason you're pater on nezek of shein in Rishas HaRabim is because the fruits are hefker. And in theory, hefker would be enough to make you pater on hana, but it just so happens that even if fruits are hefker and it's zenehen of zelo chaser, you're still chayiv for getting hana. So the sub chayiv of hana could be applied even if the fruits are hefker. Rami wanted to say. But the chayiv of shein can't be applied because the fruits are hefker. Guys, I got to motor through this because we're running out of time. Okay. You want to try building a sugya on Rami Bar Chama, good luck. Rami Bar Chama is always the other voice in the room. They call the 10th person in the room in the Mossad. There is one person who has to think differently. Everyone thinks the same, you have tragedies. Everyone has to think differently, out of the box, see it from a different angle. So Rami Bar Chama is the 10th guy in the room. I'm independent. There's no way that anyone in this room is going to get away, even Yosef Grauer, is going to get away explaining to us this based on Rami. That fruit in Rishas HaRabim is Hefker. And that's why you're Patur in Rishas HaRabim. And that's why, as you all want to say, Yisrael Davin and everyone, not only is fruit in Rishas HaRabim Hefker, but fruit that's about to be in Rishas HaRabim is also Hefker. Alicia, just like fruit about to break is considered cliche, or fruit about to be. But can you, like, ramp down Rami a little bit and say it? Okay. Fruit in Rishas HaRabim isn't Hefker, it's owned. But even though it's owned, it is, give me a less word. It's not Hefker, but it is. The reason that I'm Pater, if my animal eats your fruit in Rishas HaRabim, is because I still own the fruit, says Rava, and therefore Zenehen of Zechaser, not Zenehen of Zelochaser, and you can't bring any proof from it. Even though the owner still owns the fruit, still it is not unowned, it is, Adam? It is? Oh, that's the description. If it's not in Rishas HaRabim, because it's not my Rishas, it's still owned by me. It's not unowned, but it is? What?
I don't care about them.
Okay. and say it more chetza-wise, because at least you want to say the chetza, take what you're saying, since they're in a place that, therefore, they're considered unprotected. Go more chetza. Rami said that any person who leaves fruit in Rosh Hashanah, I mean, we could ask what Rami really meant, but let's just assume we take Rami at face value. It's such a strange idea that I don't even think Rami meant it, but that's a chiddush in Rabbi Ben Arshashir, what it takes to exonerate Hana. But if we just take the concept that Rami introduced, you know why you're pater or nezik in Rosh Hashanah, and then we can talk about whether you're chayav on Hana based on the calculus of Zin and of Zelachasa? Because food left in Rosh Hashanah isn't protected. And finish the sentence. Shein is only chayev when you damage protected food. You have to say the second part. Is this our fifth paradigm, guys? You know why you're patur in Rosh Hashanah? Because the food is not really protected. It's not hefker. You still own it. And listen carefully, for Hana purposes, it's Zenhen of Zechaser, says Rava. So don't, Rami, try to prove Zenhen of Zelochaser. It's still owned by Henry. And Zenhen of Zechaser, don't try to go there. But in the world of Shane, now I'm going to add a little bit metal on this, because Shane really isn't a mazik. Come on. What's Shane doing if we're just eating? Come on, guys. You all like to eat, right? Well, come on. Right? Why did everyone, I wasn't there to say, why did everyone come to the Yom? You don't come. You want to hear about technology? You want some ragalach. Ragalach, right? The animal's eating. He's not a mazik. We always have this question. Whenever the Yeshiva puts out food for visitors, and they put out the food, and all the guys go grab the food. The visitors don't have any food. It's like, we always have this question in the rabbi meeting. Should we put policemen there and stop the boys from eating? I said, like, you can't do that. Like, kids need to eat. Either put out the food late or put, you know, actually put up a sign. I hope the kids themselves have enough sense that it's not meant for them. But whatever, like, you know, lotach some shor b'disho. People eat. Like, the worst thing I would ever tell someone is not to eat. Or don't eat. Like, don't eat in the classroom, but just go eat. You're hungry. You're grown kids. Like, animals are mazik, it's Shane. And Regal, I'm bringing in metal alumnus from the past. And Regal, it's even less of a mazik, not even in action. Boar, oh, that's a mazik. Eish, that's a mazik. Karen, whoa, Karen Ward. So I have to find some way to, that's what I'm looking for, exacerbate the hezek of Shane. Shane on its own is an hezek. This is really the deep theory of the last two svaras. Shane is not a mazik. Keren, oh, that's a mazik. Kavanas a mazik. Bor, tchilas asiyas l'nesik. Eish, come on, you're a pyro. Shane is natural things. So one way is to say, well, it's not really about the hezek hill you did to the item, it's about the home invasion. That's really why you chayev on Shane Perekah. Because it's not a mazik. That's why we moved to the home invasion, because there's such a weak hezek here. Another way is, you know why you're chayev on chain? Yeah, maybe. You're not such a destructive force. But you took an item like this, guys, which was huddled and cuddled and protected, and you attacked the most protected, sacred, isolated, guarded item. What happens when I'm Zinrush Sarab? They're not hefker. Don't give me that. It's Rabbi's business. If they were hefker, why would you be chayev on Karen? Why would you be chayev on Bor? Like, come on. No one makes their arguments hefker and Rosh Hashanah rabbi. But they're vulnerable. They're not protected. So for Bor Yechayev, for Eish Yechayev, for Karen Yechayev, Shane and Regel, a little different. Shane and Regel, you didn't really damage, and the item was vulnerable, and can't call you a Maisa Mazik. Really a Mazik, if you do something really odious, Bor, Eish, Karen, or you take something that's protected and you ruin its protective coat. And here, the item didn't have a protective coat. And the Gemara says, well, what about an item that has a protective coat, but it's about to lose it? Because it's rolling out. How does that affect the item? Or to say it in Elisha's terms, just like an item that's about to break is considered shavur, on Daf Chavav, maybe an item that's about to lose its protection is considered unprotected and vulnerable. And therefore, you wouldn't be chayav for Shane. And this, Talmidim, is our fifth paradigm. Maybe the Torah Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is unprotected. And that's what the Gemara was asking by Misgalgel, according to Tosas. Because it's about to lose its protection. we now have, I'm going to speak in a few minutes, we now have five paradigms. Zeres HaKasev, Orche, Pshias HaNizik, Invasion, Unprotection, Rosh HaSarab. Now we can go continue learning some of the Sigyos, and we have five ideas. We say, oh, this Rishon sounds like this idea. This Rishon sounds like that idea. This Gemara sounds like that idea. And we've used four Sigyos, five Sigyos to help us. The Chiyoch HaZena, that Sigya. We use the Sugya of Mechazeres. We use the Sugya of Agav Chavrata. We use Misgalgel according to Rashi, which is really one Sugya, and Misgalgel according to Tosafot, which is totally different Sugya because it's totally different. And basically, Mechazeres Machlokes. It's really six Sugyas. We've seen six data points for Torah Shas Harabim, and unless you read them together, then you're not going to see this. You have to see Sugyas together. You can't just read a Sugya at a time. That's baby learning. That's kiddie pool. Sugya, two chakiras. You have to start to loop together sugyas and say, oh, now I see the larger picture. We'll see a few more sugyas. Maybe by the end of the week we'll finish this topic. Okay? Okay. Let's have a few seconds, just a quick parshas Vayechi idea, an important idea about growth, identity.